All right, let's see if we can get one right tonight. Do you want to try? Want to try again? Oh, is my mic open? Oh, okay. Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. A couple of things here. First, the first hour tonight is sponsored by Douglas Gardner. He has a message. Hi, Mike. A deal is a deal. You posted the March 19th video. I bought an hour. Thanks for all you do, Doug. Thank you, Doug. Oh, the video, okay. That's right. He sent me an email. He said, if you put that up, I'll sponsor an hour. Ta-da! Also, I want to announce something to you here. I mentioned this last week. People across the country are going to gather on April 4th for a day of action in support of workers. You can learn more about events in your community at aprildayofaction.com. aprildayofaction.com. Check it out, okay? Did you listen to any of Obama's speech tonight? I wasn't exactly sure. I'm not trying to be a smartass here, but I wasn't exactly sure what he was saying. He declared that the U.S. Intervened in Libya to prevent a slaughter of civilians that, in his words, would have stained the world's consciousness and been a betrayal of who we are. But there are so many other instances right on the continent of Africa where he ordered the U.S. to participate in this attack on Libya that also are in desperate need of, well, how about Syria? The dictator of Syria is killing his people who are demanding more freedom, more democracy, whatever it's called in Syria. What about the Saudis who sent an invading force across an international border, I think it is anyway, into Bahrain to kill people there? Hello? What about the situation between the Israelis and the Palestinians? The Palestinians have been living in refugee camps now for over half a century and are systematically I'm trying to think of a word like torture. I guess I can't. Systematically tortured until they respond with violence of their own. Why Libya? What is the difference between Libya and Ivory Coast, between Libya and Bahrain, between Libya and Saudi Arabia, between Libya and Yemen, between Libya and Saudi Arabia? Did I say Saudi Arabia already? Between Libya and Syria. Why Libya? Gosh, it'll take some pondering. He announced that day after tomorrow, NATO is going to take over total command of the Libya operation, as though that means we are not going to be involved in a command and control situation. Really? But aren't we the senior partner? Aren't we Uncle Sam where it concerns NATO? I don't know. Plus, he did not refer to this military campaign as a war. Well, that is another example of newspeak. When you participate in the attack on another country, no matter how justified, it may be justified, I don't know. But what do you call that when you participate in an attack and you are bombing and strafing and blowing up and killing? What is that? Is that afternoon tea? Is that a meeting of the minds? Is that refocusing our attention? Or is it war? What is it? Well, it's not war, according to the omission of that term. No details on the cost. But he stated that the U.S.-led response had stopped Gaddafi's advances and probably halted a slaughter. And somebody brought up today, maybe gratuitously, maybe just trying to be a smartass, I'm not sure. Well, it's the same thing, isn't it? That maybe Gaddafi, when he threatened no mercy against the people who were rebelling against his dictatorship, maybe, like Saddam Hussein, when Saddam Hussein pretended like he might have had weapons of mass destruction, always with his eye to the east, the Iranians. Don't forget, Iraq and Iran had an eight-year-long war of attrition that took the lives, literally, of millions of Persians and Iraqis. So who knows? Who knows? He gave his speech, and this is interesting, at National Defense University, which is where people go, I guess, to learn the intricacies of war. I don't know what the National Defense University teaches. I'm sure it's a stop on the way to upper rank for the officer corps, a needed stop on the way up. What else about his speech? Oh, yeah, he said, referring to Libya, and this was the uniqueness of Libya. He said, quote, in this particular country, at this particular moment, we were faced with the prospect of violence on a horrific scale, end quote. Syria has been shooting protesters. Our great allies and the Bush business partners, the Saudis, have been crushing dissidents. An upsurge of violence in Israel and the occupied territories. The Egyptian military seems to be reluctant. I don't know how the people of Egypt are going to respond to this, but the Egyptian military seems all of a sudden to be a little bit reluctant to let those old democratic reforms come into place. And on top of all this, it turns out that Donald Trump is a birther. Donald Trump wants to run for president. So he's talking about, oh, God. Oh, I don't know why I even mentioned that. Donald Trump is a pimple on America's ass. That's all he is. And every once in a while, he wants the media to scratch him. And so he's getting his scratch now. Okay, you can see what we're up against tonight. So, plus, did you know that in Madison, Wisconsin, there is a man there on a hunger strike? He is in his 23rd day, I believe. We'll talk about that a little bit when we come back. Did you know about this? No, I didn't know about it. I got an email today from Politiscoop, politiscoop.com. Linda Ross at politiscoop.com. Matthew Schauenberg is his name. We'll talk about it a little bit when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
All your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see. All your life. You were only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly.
Day Screaming with Mike Malloy.
Past the hour, an hour sponsored by Doug Gardner. Hi, Mike. Deal's the deal. You posted a March 19th video. I bought an hour. Thanks for all you do. Signed, Doug. Doug, thank you. All right, here's the story. Matthew Schauenberg, I think we have a video up, don't we? At our website, if you go to MikeMalloy.com, you will see the video. He's on, I think this is day 22 or 23. He is on this hunger strike in protest of Wisconsin Governor Walker's so-called budget repair bill, and the mainstream media is not reporting anything about the fact that this man has vowed to not eat. Well, he's vowed to die. Isn't that what a hunger strike is? There was an interview conducted by Politiscoop, P-O-L-I-T-I, Scoop, Politiscoop.com. He's lost about 25 pounds. This is what it says. This is from Madison. Today marks the 24th day in the Matt Schauenberg hunger strike against Walker and the Senate Republicans. 24 days ago, Politiscoop writes, Matt Schauenberg decided he was ready to die for the rights of Wisconsin workers and the working class of Wisconsin. Politiscoop picked up the story from the social networking site Facebook and has received little or no attention from mainstream media, or even gotten the attention of Scott Walker and his cast of thugs in the Republican Party. And then there's an interview here that you can find at politiscoop.com if you want to go there. But Dave, and we tried to get in touch with Dave, but the phone number we had, we didn't get a return call yet. Let me see here. What's Dave's name? Damn it. I've got it here someplace. Yeah, Dave Smith. All right, there you go. But we didn't get a call back from Dave, so we'll just go with this. Anyway, Dave, in his interview with Matthew Schauenberg, asked him, how much weight have you lost? About 25 pounds. Has anyone in terms of Republicans or Democratic senators in Wisconsin stopped by to talk to you? Schauenberg, no communications from politicians or unions. One Democratic staffer gave me a thumbs up last week, though. Schauenberg went on, cops have been very supportive. I don't know who it was that gave me the thumbs up. Politiscoop asks, let me ask you this. Is there anything that a Republican or Democrat could do to change your mind if they met with you? Matthew, not that I could see. I'm sticking to my two points of CBA restoration, that's the bargaining rights, and budget dialogue. Politiscoop, so it's both or none? Schauenberg, yes, another hunger striker starting this week would be great to keep the pressure on after I'm hospitalized or dead. Anyway, is there a website set up to support him? No, nothing yet. Go to Politiscoop and check this out. And Dave Smith, right, is obvious that this is not some sort of publicity stunt by Matt. Rather, it is a fight for rights in the face of a Republican governor who seems determined to change the face of workers' rights in Wisconsin. Will Walker or any of the Republican senators stop and speak to Matt? Well, how about Democrats? Will Walker or any of the senators remember this man should he pass away? I don't like that term, pass away. Should he die in his fight against the machine? If you have a chance on April 4th, We talked about this, which has been declared a day of action in Wisconsin. Go down to the Capitol in Madison and stand with Matt. Support a man who's willing to sacrifice his life for the rights of every working man and woman in Wisconsin. He's sitting at the Capitol every day. If you're in Madison, you might want to go by and offer some support or get in touch with Politiscoop. The woman there is Linda Ross, P-O-L-I-T-I-S-C-O-O-P, politiscoop.com. I haven't heard a thing about this, and probably won't. How did the Tunisian event start? A man set himself on fire who owned a fruit stand, right? I think Matt Schauenberg deserves a little bit of focus, a little bit of attention. Don't you agree? Matt Schauenberg, who is in the 24th day of a fast, and he's vowed to take it to its ultimate conclusion, his own death. Okay, so what do you say about this, Truth Seeker?
By your light, you tell me it can be done. By your light's the courage to carry on. Heroes appear like a friend. Clear up.
Hey, Truth Seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
Father, do you think she's good enough? 25 before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Doug Gardner. Thank you, Douglas. Hi, Mike. The deal's the deal, he writes. You posted the March 19th video. I bought an hour. Thanks for all you. I'll post it again, Doug, if you want me to. Thanks, Doug. That was very kind. Quick reference back to Obama's speech tonight. I don't know why. I guess because he's the president and there should be some kind of statement from the president. It would have been nice if he would have made the statement before American planes began flying missions, don't you think? Russ Douthat? I'm sorry I'm mispronouncing his name. He is a conservative writer on the op-ed page in the New York Times. And his column this morning was kind of interesting. A War by Any Name is the title of it. But he says, what are our military objectives? He's writing this prior to Obama's speech, obviously. But he said, what are our military objectives? The strict letter of the United Nations resolution we're embracing only authorizes the use of air power to protect civilian populations, quote, under threat of attack, end quote, from Gaddafi's forces. But Douthat goes on, but we're interpreting that mandate as liberally as possible. Our strikes have cleared the way for a rebel counteroffensive, whose success is contingent on our continued air support. He goes on, if the rebels stall short of Tripoli, how will we respond? With a permanent no-fly zone, effectively establishing a NATO protectorate in eastern Libya, with arms for the anti-Qaddafi forces so they can finish the job. Either way, the logic of this conflict suggests a more open-ended commitment than the White House has been willing to admit. And, of course, you've got to wonder who exactly are the rebels. That's a fair question. We supported the Mujahideen in Afghanistan against the Soviets. And they, of course, to a certain degree, morphed into the Taliban. And one of the leaders of the Mujahideen was Osama bin Laden. Part of the family that are business partners with the Bush crime organization. So, you know, you got to be careful. The law of unintended consequences so comes into play when you have Christian imperialists up against Muslim paranoids. And when you put the two together, you have a very volatile situation you have for the past 1,000 years. I mean, why is that still hard to understand? Speaking of that, I just have to digress for a moment. When we were in D.C. on the 19th, there was a man praying in front of the White House. He happened to be a Muslim. And he's been there apparently for a long time, weeks, months. I'm not sure. But let me get this right. He shows up every day and prays. Got this email from Jude, and I think Kay Petrini's class in San Francisco focused on this. Jude writes, there's a Muslim gentleman who prays directly in front of the White House, standing and kneeling on Pennsylvania Avenue every single day. Jude writes, I stood a short distance from him the last time I was there in February. His melodic tone, coupled in his song of prayer, filtered through me. Which brings me to Kay. I had learned of Kay's students bringing to life peace necklaces a while back and felt the universal strength and grounding of them. So on the Monday after the two protests, she's talking about 22nd or the 21st, a week ago, yeah. I finally met person to person this gentle soul preparing to stand in front of the White House. His gracious acceptance of me as I asked permission to speak with him was humbling. And Jude includes a few more things here, but the reason I'm bringing this up, did you post that video too? I want you, at our website, I want you to take a look at this video at the psychotic, filthy, disgusting evangelical Christians who are standing there harassing this man, intimidating this man, threatening this man. One of the Christians is this freakish-looking white guy with a fur coat on. Take a look. I mean, it's just the goddamnedest thing I've ever seen. Here are these, and in the background you hear chants, Jesus! 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 I mean, it's astonishing. These are Christians, and these are Christians. They are. These are, honest to God, the typical evangelical Christian. Starting with Franklin Graham all the way down into the gutter where these filthy pigs put themselves the other day, harassing a man who is praying to the same pretend God that the Christians pray to. Same one. I mean, the Jews, the Christians, the Muslims, they all pray to the same, you know, hairy thunderer or cosmic muffin, whatever. They all pray to the same one. But if you look at this video, for those of us who were brought up in the Christian religion, you look at that video, I don't know about you, but just a wave of nausea, just disgusting. You know, I wish there was transcendental Jesus Christ, not just some rabbi that tried to open people's eyes 2,000 years ago, but a real transcendental being, a star being, a light being who could drop through 8 or 9 parallel universes and show up in D.C. and stand next to this Muslim man. And as these filthy Christians attacked him, pinch their heads off and kick them into hell where all these Christian demons and goblins and little horrors populate and where they could play soccer, you know, ripping the heads off of people are not necessarily something new. I mean, hell, even our armed forces do it now. Some of them do it anyway, a couple of them, right? Huh? Have you seen those pictures in Rolling Stone? If you haven't, don't. If you have, man. No, I'm not saying, and please don't think that I am, that the U.S. military necessarily produces filth like these six or seven soldiers who are accused of decapitating people and playing with their corpses. No, these people were obviously disturbed and sick when they went into the military. But back in the day, the military would have screened these thugs out. And they would have wound up dead on some street corner after some gang fight or something. But instead, the military, in its haste to take in as many people as it can, doesn't screen anymore. I remember back in 1965, as the United States Army tried to snare my ass to go fight in Vietnam, I got a morals waiver. A morals waiver. Because I had a speeding ticket where the fine was $200. That's how tough it was even back in 65. Or was it? I guess it was 66. But now, the military, in its haste to suck up all these unemployed, stupid-ass men who have no moral or ethical sense at all. What kind of people raise up a son who puts on a uniform of the U.S. military, takes an oath to protect and defend the Constitution, and then goes over to a theater of war and mutilates corpses? What kind of an American does that? Now, I'm against U.S. military interventionism and the use of the military for capitalist goals, but I don't believe that the military teaches people to desecrate corpses, to chop off the heads of dead people and twist legs off and gouge out dead eyes. I mean, that's got to come from your religion or your home training.
He rolled into a cattle town, a smile upon his lips. He stopped and walked into a bar, laid his money down. But his mother's words echoed again. Don't take your guns to town.
C-SPAN, so you don't have to. It's more Mike Malloy.
Boom, boom. Boy, those are the good old days, huh? Is that Baba Ganoush? This hour has been sponsored by Doug Gardner, whose message, "Hi, Mike, the deal's the deal. You posted the March 19th video. I bought an hour. Thanks for all you do." Signed, Doug. Thank you, Doug. I appreciate that very, very much. And don't forget, people across the country are going to gather on April 4th for a day of action in support of workers. In support of workers. How about that? You can learn more about events in your community by going to aprildayofaction.com. They had an April Day of Action over the weekend in London, huh? 1 million people Oh, I know. Some of the official estimates are 500,000 to 750,000. They always underestimate it by about 30%. All right, let's split the difference. 750,000 protesters marched in London on Saturday to protest Britain's deepest cuts to public spending. Are you listening? Since World War II. The protest came after UK officials estimated corporate taxes would be reduced, even as it tackles a $235 billion deficit and plans to cut more than 300,000 public sector jobs. Well. So 1 million people. Oh, that's right. We're splitting the difference. 750,000 people show up in London. I wonder what's going to happen on April 4th here in the United States. Bank of America paid nothing in federal income taxes last year and got $1 billion from taxpayers, huh? How about that? General Electric paid no taxes. Boeing, no taxes. That's in 2009. Now, with many companies releasing their financial reports for 2010, Bank of America, the nation's largest bank, has gone a second year in a row paying absolutely no federal income taxes. Zip, zero, nada, nothing. In fact, not only did the company use its losses, oh, damn, to avoid paying taxes last year, it actually reported a tax benefit of almost $1 billion. That's a refund. $1 billion! After another money-losing year, Bank of America Corporation got the upper hand with Uncle Sam in 2010. The Charlotte, North Carolina-based bank had no federal income tax expenses for a second straight year and actually reported a tax benefit of nearly $1 billion. Also, the bank's billions in accumulated losses could reduce its taxes in future years. Bank spokesman Jerry Dubrowski said, quote, Bank of America takes its role as a corporate citizen very seriously and pays taxes in accordance with all applicable laws and regulations. End quote. Jerry Dubrowski from Bank of America. Bank of America. Oh, and like we mentioned last week, General Electric, which still has a minority stake in NBC and MSNBC, which means, oh, and the majority stake now, I guess, is Comcast, which means, sadly, that anyone who works on television, MSNBC or NBC, is in fact working for the enemy. Uh-oh. After paying zero income taxes, GE plans to ask its union workers to make wage and benefits concessions. From Think Progress. Last week, New York Times reported, despite making $14.2 billion in profits, GE paid zero taxes and actually received tax credits at $3.2 billion. Think Progress has now learned that General Electric is expected to ask its nearly 15,000 unionized employees in the United States to make major concessions. Among the major concessions GE has signaled it will ask of union workers is the elimination of a defined contribution benefit pension for new employees, a move the company has already implemented for its non-union salaried employees. Likewise, GE is signaling to the union that it will ask for the elimination of current health insurance plans in favor of lower quality health savings accounts. In addition, General Electric will ask some workers for a wage freeze. Since the recession began in 2007, GE threatened to close plants in Schenectady, New York, and Louisville, Kentucky, unless workers took wage concessions and added two-tier wage structure. You know, the people are already there until they retire or die or fall into a vat of electricity or something and die. They'll continue to get whatever little cheesy-ass benefits are left, but the new people coming in? No, 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 no! We only made $14.2 billion in profits last year. That's $14,000 million in profits. Why should we pay you stinking goddamn workers a living wage? Are you kidding me?
Protection.
Seven past the hour. This is the Molloy Program. This hour is sponsored by Bob Julich, who writes, "The neocons will continue killing our country until we give them reasons to change." Ooh. Thanks, Bob. Michigan, in addition to every other move that Michigan is making toward fascism, it's just hard to believe, hard for me to believe. Michigan, the great Union State, it's easy to understand something was drastically wrong, something was going terribly wrong in Michigan during the 90s when all of a sudden the militia groups started to materialize out of, like rancid stinks rising up out of a swamp somewhere. All of a sudden you had these Michigan militia, all these beer-gutted half-wits running around with pop guns. Ah, something was amiss. But now, with this Hitler-like governor who is deciding, who signed legislation that says he can appoint a corporate officer. I mean, this is this is Mussolini. What did I say? Hitler? Mussolini. This is it. I mean, here it is. The governor can appoint a corporate officer to go into a bankrupt school system or village or town or county and just take over and fire everybody who was elected. And what if the people don't like that? What if the people say, wait, no, get the hell out of our school board meeting. What happens then? Do they send in the state police? Do they open fire on American citizens who say, are you out of your goddamn mind? We elected these people. Interesting. Anyway, Rick Snyder, Another sociopath who has risen up to the surface of the commode and floats there, signed controversial legislation today making Michigan the first state in the country to reduce unemployment insurance for those who lose their jobs through no fault of their own. Now, obviously, this was this article must be a few weeks ago. Starting in January, laid-off Michiganders will be eligible for 20 weeks of jobless aid instead of the standard 26. Oh, my God. And then he tries to paint himself as defending unemployment benefits. He said the change was necessary to win political support in the Michigan legislature for maintaining the state's eligibility for the federal extended benefits program. Without the bill, an estimated 35,000 Michiganders would not have received their extended benefit checks in April, coming next week. Snyder said in a statement, quote, "These benefits are a lifeline for many Michigan families who are struggling in this challenging economy. Cutting them off so abruptly would have jeopardized the well-being of those who are trying hard to find work," end quote. That's how the son of a bitch paints himself, that he's defending unemployed workers. Extended benefits kick in for people who exhaust 53 weeks of federal emergency unemployment compensation and 26 weeks of state benefits. Those are and then you add the 20 and you got the 99ers. Opponents of the bill say the extended benefits measure in Michigan was not worth reducing the state benefits. Advocates of unemployment insurance fear other states now will follow Michigan's lead. Democrats say the change is going to, quote, turn back the clock on 50 years of needed protections for the unemployed in Michigan. Wow. Well, Michiganders, how long? How much more are you going to take? The Michigan Chamber of Commerce lobbied against a standalone extended benefits fix, arguing that further depleting the federal government's unemployment insurance trust fund would eventually result in higher unemployment surtaxes on businesses. Well, of course, let the workers kick them to the street, kick them to the curb. Screw the workers. To hell with the workers. The workers don't need money. We can't afford a business surtax. We don't pay any goddamn taxes now. We certainly don't want a surtax or a MAM tax or a kiss my butt tax. We don't want any taxes on businesses here in Michigan. Are you kidding? That's what this whole thing's about. General Electric and Boeing and Bank of America, they don't pay taxes. Why should they pay taxes? What was that woman that owned all the hotels in Helmsley? What'd she say? Paying taxes for the little people? Little people. Little teeny people. People that are 14 centimeters high. That would be people like you and me, Truth Seeker. We're the little people. We run around banging into things because we're little people. Why should Boeing? Why should GE? Why should these companies that lay people off? I mean, Boeing is God, isn't it? I mean, if you live in Seattle, right? Isn't Boeing God? When Boeing hiccups, the rest of the world gets pneumonia? Or no, sneezes, the rest of the world, or something. I don't know. In Wisconsin, also, you want to know how fascism really works, according to New York Times, and this is interesting because Krugman wrote about this today too, under the heading "American Thought Police." But the Times, on the editorial side, The latest techniques used by conservatives to silence liberal academics is to demand copies of emails and other documents. Attorney General Kenneth Cuccinelli of Virginia tried it last year with a climate change scientist, and now the Wisconsin Republican Party is doing it to a distinguished historian who dared to criticize the state's new union-busting law. The historian, a guy named William Cronin, is the Frederick Jackson Turner and Vilas Research Professor of History, Geography, and Environmental Studies at the University of Wisconsin, and was recently elected president of the American Historical Association. Well, that automatically makes him a target to the Christian evangelicals. The struggles, I know, history, it's in the Bible. Earlier this month, he was asked to write an op-ed article for the New York Times on the historical context of Governor Scott Walker's effort to strip public employee unions of bargaining rights. While researching the subject, he posted on his blog several critical observations about the powerful network of conservatives working to undermine union rights and disenfranchise Democratic voters in many states across the country. In particular, he pointed to something called the American Legislative Exchange Council. The American Legislative Exchange Council. Sounds like a debating society, doesn't it? The American Legislative Exchange Council. Professor Cronin pointed to them as one of the organizations in the network of conservatives working to undermine union rights and take away votes from Democratic voters. More when we come back. You're going to find this interesting. Stay right there.
Mr. Nice Guy. Here's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. Brought to you by Mini Cooper with 37 miles per gallon. Learn more at miniusa.com/info. William Cronin, professor, historian, professor of history, geography, and environmental studies, University of Wisconsin, had the absolute temerity to suggest in an op-ed piece that he wrote for the New York Times some criticism of the Wisconsin governor and the legislature in its attempts to destroy the right to collective bargaining, and essentially destroy the First Amendment. And then on his own personal blog, he cited several critical observations about the powerful network of conservatives working to undermine not just union rights, but also to disenfranchise Democratic voters in many states. And as the Times says, in particular, he pointed to the American Legislative Exchange Council, a conservative group backed by business interests that circulates draft legislation in every state capital, much of it similar to the Wisconsin law. See, this is where the left, the liberal left, that is now dead, it doesn't exist anymore, but this is how the liberal left lost the last great battle for the soul and future of America by not funding, think tanks, radio programs, radio networks, television networks. The liberal left, the wealthy people in the liberal left, sat back on their collective asses and said, well, let somebody else do it. I just want to make some money. Oh, yeah, I hate Republicans, but I'm not going to do anything to try to stop this fascist juggernaut. I'm going to do nothing. Okay. Well, your system of doing nothing has produced what we're all facing now, don't you think? Anyway, the American Legislative Exchange Council, they write up proposed legislation, then they send it out to all the Republicans, all the state legislatures across the country. And the Republican teabag psychopaths, the dumbasses, the sociopaths, sit there and read what this business council said. Oh, yeah, well, this is okay. Right, okay. And then they introduce it as legislation. And if it is a majority Republican legislature, it becomes law. What does the left do? Crickets. Anyway, 2 days after Professor Cronin wrote on his blog about this bunch of goddamn phony fascist capitalist bastards, the American Legislative Exchange Council, the state Republican Party filed a Freedom of Information request with the university demanding all of this professor's emails containing the words Republican, Scott Walker, Union, Rally, and other such communist or incendiary terms, right? Huh? Union? Rally? The Republican Nazis in Wisconsin. How much longer are you people in Wisconsin going to put up with this, huh? The Republican Nazis in Wisconsin refuse to say why it wants the messages. You and I can guess why, right? Mr. Cronin, Professor Cronin, believes it is hoping to find that he is supporting the recall of Republican state senators, which would be against university policy and, of course, which he denies. But this is a clear attempt, as the Times says, to punish a critic and make other academics think twice before using the freedom of the American university to conduct legitimate research. Now, this is what, you know, we've been using the Nazi model. Wrong model, wrong model, wrong model. That was Bush. You got to go with the communist model. You got to go with Stalinism. This is what Walker and his Politburo in Wisconsin are doing. Intimidate the intellectuals. Break them down. Intimidate them. You know, those independent intellectuals, the intelligentsia. Oh, my God. We have to get the intelligentsia because they put out their dangerous things. They're called ideas, discourse, conversation, dialogue. No, 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 no. Not here. Oh, no. It's just astonishing. Just when you think it can't get any worse at the nuclear power plant in Japan, it gets worse. Just when you think the fascist governor of the state of Michigan can't do anything else to destroy people in his own state, he does. Just when you think this little toy jackass in Wisconsin can't oversee a collective organization that is destroying his own state, he does. Republicans in Wisconsin and across the country are trying to destroy the idea of open national discourse. And aren't they doing a good job?
We shall not be moved just like a tree that stands by the water. We shall not be moved.
We'll build a mighty union.
We'll build a mighty union. We shall not be moved. We'll build a mighty union. We shall not be moved.
watching C-SPAN so you don't have to. It's more Mike Malone.
This hour is sponsored by Bob Julich. This message, the neocons will continue killing our country until we give them reason to change. Yeah. I can't get over that video that we put up at our website, the Christian fascists harassing the Muslim man who is simply trying to pray. He has no signs, no pickets, and no obvious, that I saw in the video, displays of religious preference or bigotry. But he's surrounded by Christians, one in a fur coat who seems to be leading. And when I looked at this video, I kept waiting for the Christians to just attack this man like vultures going after roadkill. I mean, that's just what it, you know, just like those anticipatory moments that right before a massive rat shooting or something, where all the white guys get together in the pickup trucks and go out to the dump and sit there with their rifles and pew, pew, kill the big ass rats to live out there. That's what these guys' faces look like, especially the one in the fur coat. Now you want to hear something really screwy? Al Babe sent this to be a pompous nationalist white supremacist, a lying corporatist hypocrite pretending to be a populist, and a power-mad nationalist white supremacist racist bigot. Those are three people. Oh, and a BS pretend plumber. Not to mention a squeaky liar who thinks that if she doesn't get her own way, that she and her supporters should use First Amendment remedies, or would that be Second Amendment remedies to take over the government? This is what the Republican Party has become. Here's what he's talking about. According to Crooks and Liars, three guys named Joe are teaming up to try to defeat a guy named Barack. Three Joes up against a Barack. The Joes are three figures popular among crazy people in this country. Maricopa County, Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio, last election season's Republican Senate nominee in Alaska, Joe Miller. Remember him? Remember that goddamn freak? And Samuel Joseph Wurzelbacher. Joe the plumber. They are teaming up Thursday night coming at a launch party and fundraiser in Montara, California for something called the Campaign to Defeat Barack Obama. What it really is the campaign to get the really stupid asses in here and we'll take their money. Ha, ha, ha. But, you know, we're going to target the color guy in the White House, right? The organization, the Campaign to Defeat Barack Obama, was launched by something called Our Country Deserves Better Committee. It's a conservative political action committee. That's also the parent organization of the Tea Party Express, which, you know, is funded by the Koch brothers. See how tight these circles are? You see what the right-wing billionaires do, whereas the left-wing billionaires, you know, they just want to do stupid stuff like go to Africa and save children from dying of a river worm disease or something, you know. But here in this country is soon to become a religio-fascist state. And the leading edge of this, of course, are people like Joe the plumber, I guess. Also scheduled to attend this little circle jerk are Sharon Angle, last year's Republican Senate nominee in Nevada, and conservative activist and incipient Nazi baby eater Melanie Morgan. What a group, huh? They all ought to just shave their heads so we can see the Nazi swastika that's up there.
The newly formed group recently ran television ads in Wisconsin supporting Scott Walker. Well, sure. And Joe Miller, the National Socialist from Alaska, went on Rupert Murdoch's anti-American terrorist network last week to promote the alliance. And according to Crooks and Liars, of course, it was ridiculous. This freak, Miller, just sat there mouthing his rehearsed talking points and insisting that the Tea Party movement is alive and festering or something like that. Anyway, as Crooks and Liars says, this is quite a remarkable trio. Considering that all three of them have been associated to one degree or another with the dark side of the conservative movement. Well, it's all dark. Come on. Miller was the one that hired militia goons to rough up journalists during the 2010 campaign and has numerous so-called patriot, that would be people who hate this country, connections, including a long association with Schaefer Cox, the militia man just arrested a couple of weeks ago for plotting to kill cops and judges. Huh? You like that? Arpaio also has a long record of playing footsie with neo-Nazis and other extremists, not to mention implementing their agenda and aping their tactics. And Wurzelbacher, Wurzelbacher the plumber, he just tossed the guy who made him famous, John McCain, under the bus and indulged in the same ignorant incendiarianism that brought him all that attention in the first place, including vicious and violent eliminationist rhetoric. Like, you know, he has a reputation for being a half-wit, referring to Senator Chris Dodd more than once. Wurzelbacher asked, "Why hasn't he been strung up?" How do you like that? Whew, my God. Anyway, as Crooks and Liars has posted, David Nywert, he says, "My favorite aspect of all this is that these characters are being underwritten by the same people who brought you the Tea Party Express. And Mark, Colored People Change Their Minds About Emancipation, Williams." I don't know. It makes you wonder what's really going on when you have a cast like this, notable for exciting the most violent and vicious parts of the American right, all in the service of attacking unions? Jesus God. Remember back in the day when Henry Ford hired the goons to break up the strike at the River Rouge plant in Michigan? And if you look at some of the reports, some of the old reports, and I think there's even some film of what happened over the course of that strike, you can see some so-called union thugs, that's what the right wing refers to them, with the great big pipe wrenches, going after Henry Ford's goons and catching some of them. And I just wonder what would happen to these right wing, somebody like Joe the Plumber. You know, what would happen if a union guy who's still struggling to keep his job, help support his family because his wife is working too. And she's probably a member of a union. So let's bring her in. Hi, come on in. Okay, thank you. If both of them got a hold of somebody like Joe the Plumber with those great big old pipe wrenches, what do you think would happen? I wonder if Wurzelbacher would be screaming, "Why hasn't somebody strung you up yet?" right before the union couple went to work on him. Over at Rupert Murdoch's terror organization, the litany has been all along that the union rallies are full of goons.
And, you know, it just cracks me up the way even the slang words used by people struggling for rights have been co-opted by these neo-fascists. Henry Ford's goons and thugs, the strike breakers, and now these pigs, these filthy pigs on the right, have stolen the language, stolen the tactics. They even tried to steal Martin Luther King, Dr. King's tactics for a while until they realized that just wouldn't go to work. And that was too transparent. Anybody, a fifth grader, could see through that. So they're going the other way. They're using a combination of Stalinism and good old-fashioned brown-shirt Nazism. How much longer? How much longer are we going to put up with it? I don't know. We'll be right back.
Every day it's something new. Lay off threats and hiring freezes. Freezes in our wages too. Paychecks pounded by inflation. Budgets cut down to the bone. We have got to stand together. This is no time to stand alone. Here we go. Public workers.
Ten before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Bob Julich. Julich? He has a message. The neocons will continue killing our country until we give them reason to change. By the way, the school boards in Wisconsin have been told to hold off on reaching any new deals with teachers' unions because, you know, the law signed by this twerp that runs the state is in the courts right now. According to the Associated Press, many school districts, counties, and municipalities in that benighted state have been rushing to reach deals before the law that takes away all bargaining rights except over base salary kicks in. There's a hearing scheduled tomorrow, you know, on what the Republicans did. The judge in that case had issued the restraining order barring Democratic Secretary of State Doug LaFollette from publishing the law, typically the last step before it takes effect. But they posted the law on the legislature's website anyway back on Friday, and Governor Scott Walker's administration said that put the law into effect Saturday and it would work to implement it immediately. Oh, you bastards. Oh, you bastards. It's believed that as many, an attorney for the School Boards Association, Bob Butler, said that he thought as many as 150 of the state's 424 school districts had either extended their current contracts or reached new deals. About 200 of the school districts took no action. Another 75 are still considering what to do, including some that were close to a deal before the unexpected action on Friday. So, teachers, school boards, principals, nobody knows what to do. And, of course, Walker, in addition to all this, this little bastard has proposed more than $1 billion in cuts to schools, counties, and local governments that would take effect in July before the next school term begins. He says this is all necessary. Wow. So maybe, I don't know, Michigan and Wisconsin, well, in New Jersey, this Jabba the Hutt type, who's the governor of New Jersey, what's his name, Richie Rich or something, he is single-handedly destroying the entire public school system in the state of New Jersey. I mean, just smashing it into a million pieces. Well, okay, this is what we talked about several months ago. Let these Republican swine have the power, because there's no question what they were going to do. Their goal is to destroy the country as we have come to know it, those of us over a certain age. Destroy it. Absolutely. Undo every single thing that was done back in the 30s in order to protect the average worker, the average citizen, the average everybody, you know, that built the middle class. Destroy it all. This is the goal. This is what the Republicans and the dogs that run with them, this is what they're all about. Destroy everything, butcher it, chop it up into a million pieces. And let's not pretend that Bill Clinton and Newt Gingrich and these other pigs that were in power back in the 90s when Glass-Steagall was done away with and NAFTA was signed into law. Let's not fool ourselves, okay, truth seekers, into believing that nobody understood what the consequences of just those two actions would be. The consequences that we've been dealing with now for over a decade. The exporting of jobs completely out of the country, the race to the bottom in terms of wages, the destruction of the middle class, the ending of social programs that in a dying empire are desperately needed, the rise of the fascist right in this country. Every time I see Bill Clinton with that kind of elder statesman, you know, glasses down on his nose, looking over his glasses at the camera or talking about how much he loves George Herbert Walker Bush. You know, I remember back in 98 and 99 when I was just going on and on and on what has now become another Nazi radio outlet in the Midwest, WLS in Chicago, and going on and on defending this bastard, just defending him left and right against the charges that, you know, because he'd gotten a BJ from his girlfriend, that all of a sudden the Republic was about to fall and he should be impeached. Right? Every single night. It never stopped. It was just one thing after another to defend poor old Bill Clinton. And not realizing, I guess, because I just didn't realize. Did you? What? The ending of Glass-Steagall meant what the signing of NAFTA meant, really meant. So we're to believe, aren't we? Only, let's not, that all of this is done, was done in complete innocence. Well, we really do think that this is going to cause demand for American-made products to skyrocket, so millions of people will go to work. That's why we're going to sign NAFTA. And we really do think that banks should be able to get into the investment business and the insurance business and all this other stuff instead of just being, you know, a banking institution, right? We're to believe, aren't we, truth seekers, but we're not going to, that all this was done innocently. Third hour coming up. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This hour is sponsored by Jude Morford at Women's Standing. Her message dedicated to those who stood as a collective consciousness on the horrific anniversary of March 19th. Peace, Women Standing. Thank you, Jude. Oh, and also, don't forget, people across the country are going to gather on April 4th for a day of action in support of workers. You can learn more about events in your community by going to aprildayofaction.com. Please check that out. Okay? What else we got here? Just bad stuff. From the Jerusalem Post, 6 motions condemning Israeli settlement activity and human rights violations in occupied Palestinian territories in the Golan Heights. Of those 6 motions, the U.S. was the only country to vote against all 6 of these United Nations Human Rights Council resolutions on Israel, which were approved in Geneva last Thursday and Friday. U.S. Ambassador Eileen Chamberlain Donahoe told the council, quote, "We are deeply troubled to once again be presented with a slate of resolutions replete with controversial elements and one-sided references that fail to address the real challenges of the region," end quote. What? Now, Donahoe went on to say that Israel needs to stop settlement activity in the West Bank and improve movement and access for the Palestinians, but she added that progress in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict would not be achieved through one-sided resolutions, which is the ones presented to the council. Well, if we all got together and agreed that water is wet, but the United Nations held out and said, well, not always. Water's not always wet. Would Ms. Donahoe call that a one-sided resolution? Probably so. Probably. And there's more here, but I'm not going to bother or bug you with it. Go to Jerusalem Post if you want to know about more about it. No, you know, the Israeli occupation of why don't we ever do something about that? Seriously, if we are so determined to work toward human rights and political rights and democratic societies and the right of self-determination, ha ha ha! Only in certain areas, right, Truth Seeker? Only now, if the Palestinians had oil, that might be a little bit different, but I'll tell you what. You want to do some phone calls? Let's do some phone calls, since we very seldom do that. The number here is 877-996-2556, if you would like to participate. Oh, and also, again, if you are in Madison, Wisconsin, and you are pro-human rights, pro-worker rights, pro-democracy, in other words, if you're not a Republican, you might want to go by the state capitol, where Matt Schauenberg is in his 23rd or 24th day of a hunger strike at the capitol to protest what this Nazi governor, or this Soviet Stalinist governor and his Politburo, have enacted. We have posted at my website, MikeMalloy.com, a video of the interview conducted by Politiscoop.com, P-O-L-I-T-I, Politiscoop.com. Check them out. But this man has vowed that he will continue his hunger strike. This is not a fast. I know that there are a couple of religious people, liberal evangelicals, if that's not a contradiction in turn. I'm thinking of Jim Wallace. They are doing weekly fasts, like every Monday, fasting. I mean, okay, that you know, whatever. But that is not the same as what this young man is doing. So, any way that you can come up with support for this guy, this man who has decided, not terribly unlike, I mean, less immediate, but not terribly unlike the young man in Tunisia who decided that the repression was no longer viable for him and set himself on fire. And that started the fire, if you will. I don't, you know, I'm not trying to build some weird metaphor here, but started the fire all over the Middle East and Northern Africa. Okay. So, Schonenberg is his name. Matt Schonenberg. And any information that regarding this, you'll have to get it from Politiscope.com because I don't think there is a Schauenberg. I've been saying his name wrong. It's not Schauenberg. It's Schauenberg. S-C-H-A-U-E-N-B-U-R-G. Schauenberg. Or Schoenberg. I'm sorry. I'm notorious for not being able to pronounce proper names, right? Schauenberg? We'll go with that. But go to Politiscope.com to get the whole thing. You can see the video there or at MikeMalloy.com. One person. And nobody, none of the politicians, apparently not even the Democrats, are acknowledging this. And one more thing here before we go to your calls. The Greater Los Angeles Area Office of the Council on American Islamic Relations today called on the Department of Justice, that would be Eric Holder, to investigate as a hate crime an incident in which a Southern California Muslim taxi driver was assaulted after being asked about his religion. According to CAIR, the Council on American Islamic Relations, C-A-I-R, according to CAIR, the Muslim driver was assaulted when he arrived at a Newport Beach, California cigar lounge on March 19th in response to a call for a taxi. The man, the driver, reports that he was confronted by the owner of the facility when he inquired if anyone had requested a taxi. You know, the driver went and said, anybody call a taxi? The man, who identified himself as the owner, told the victim, I'm a Marine officer. F you. Shortly after that, a woman came out of the cigar lounge and confirmed that she had requested the cab. The driver stepped out of the cab to talk to the woman. According to the driver, three men then came out of the facility and confronted him, pushing him repeatedly and asking questions such as, what's your religion? Where are you from? We're going to F you up like we effed up your country. How about that? The victim got medical treatment for facial and head injuries. Since the incident, he has missed work and reports that he's afraid to go to work.
time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
This hour is sponsored by Women's Standing. That would be Jude. The message dedicated to those who stood as a collective consciousness on the horrific anniversary of March 19th. Peace, Women Standing. To the phones. Roger is in Los Angeles. Hello, Roger.
Hey, hi, Mike. No, I was just feeling, you know, like the Republican Party, I think it's going to be extinct. And just comparing the progressives, you know, we admire our previous progressive presidents, like we even quote them, like FDR or Harry Truman, even up to Bill Clinton, everybody. But then the Republicans, you never hear them talk about Eisenhower. Actually, progressive, the Eisenhower speech on military complex, you know, we quote him, but the Republicans never talk about Eisenhower.
That's a, you know, that's a good point. The only one they talk about is Reagan.
Yeah, right. Both the president and vice president, Nixon also, they don't talk.
Right.
And the Bushes, they have nothing to do with them.
Right.
Quayle, completely forgotten.
Who?
Cheney, nothing to do with that. Yeah, Reagan is the only one. And even there, I hear some of them now, they are complaining about Reagan's amnesty. And
right.
And there's racism.
Well, you know, Roger, I agree with you. I think the Republican Party is dead, and it was murdered by these neo-fascists, the right-wingers. Republican Party principles were a little bit too liberal for, you know, for a fascist. Of course that would be the case. So, everybody who's in a leadership party in the Republican Party right now, in a leadership position, I should say, of the Republican Party is, there is no question in my mind. And I'm old enough to have been around for a while and to have read a few things and understood a few things. These are neo-fascists. These are not Republicans. They're neo-fascists.
Yes. I don't see any future for this party. You know, it's maybe it's decaying slowly, like the isotope, you know, the uranium or protein half-life period. I don't know.
Yeah, but as it decays, if you get too close to it, you get sick and die.
Okay, that's all I need to
say. All right, Roger, thanks. I appreciate what you're saying. Yeah, I think the Republican Party is dead. The Democratic Party, on the other hand, is in a coma, is in a deep coma. There are still a few principled people left in the Democratic Party. They are becoming fewer and fewer and fewer, obviously. As the Democratic Party is sucked into this maw of predatory capitalism, it's sad to see Republicans, conservatives. There's no question they've been about the same agenda for the past 80 or 90 years, maybe even longer than that. They saw the United States as a place where there'd be free labor forever. If it weren't black slaves, if it weren't Chinese railroad workers, if it weren't Native Americans being plied with liquor, if it weren't stupid Irish and half-brained Italians and Southern Europeans coming over here. Yeah, somebody, you know. That's the reason that... you know, Donald Trump can now get on the bandwagon about he wants to see Barack Obama's birth certificate. Because in this country, the only normal power structure had white males at the top from the very beginning. From the very beginning. Let's it's hard for white people to face any truths. It really is. It's real difficult for most white people to face any truth at all. But when they say we want our country back, that's what they're talking about. I don't care if it's Donald Trump or some beer-gutted freak who thinks Sharon Angle is the Virgin Mary. It doesn't make any difference. What they're saying is that the power structure in this country must, because it always has, and God's plan is it always should have, at its peak, a white male. It doesn't make any difference who the white man is, but he must be there. If he's not there,
Then I want my country back. I want my country back! This is not my country. I want my country back. I want my country back. Jesus. Well, I don't know. I, you know, being a white male myself and being, always having had that great big, pool of power available to me, I have that perspective. It's easy. I've gotten somebody's case one time about somebody who was not African American using the term Uncle Tom. The only people who can use that term are other black folk. The only people that can talk about their own racial or ethnic group are people in that racial ethnic group. And the people who should be the most critical of white males is another white male. Something like that, right? We'll be right back. I'm Mike Molloy.
Because they take their orders from the chairman of the board. IMF. WTO. I hear these words just every place I go. Who are these people? Who elected them? And how do I replace them with some of my friends?
The IRS.
Before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Jude Mortford at Women's Standing. She says it's dedicated to those who stood as a collective consciousness on the horrific anniversary of March 19th. Peace, Women's Standing. Thanks, Jude. Stevens in Burbank. Hello, Steven.
Hi, Mike.
Long time, long time no hear. Where you been?
I didn't think it was that long. I yammer to people. I can't keep track of who they are.
That's true.
I call Left Jab. I call Marsh. I call Fader sometimes. Yammer.
Right.
First, the important news. This is very important.
Okay.
At the Warner Brothers front gate, the 2.5 Men poster is still up. You can still see a picture of Charlie Sheen on Olive.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the important news.
That's the important news. Well, God, I'm glad to hear that. I thought for a minute they might have taken it down.
No, it's still there. Maybe it'll become an historical landmark. There'll be a lawsuit a court action that says, no, you can't take down because this is history or something like that.
Well, I hear they're in negotiations now, Charlie Sheen and CBS, to get him back.
Well, I didn't know that because I'm stuck in that truck with the Pacifica, a little bit NPR, and
they don't have anything about Charlie.
Well, I haven't heard anything about it on KTLK because I got a radio. It works. I borrowed the fancy tool, and I pulled the. The radio works now. It's fixed because I jerked it out of another guy from the North Hollywood store. He crashed his truck, and I just happened to be at the junkyard where it was.
Uh-huh.
And I yanked the radio. So now I don't have to ask you how to fix the AM/FM button.
Oh, good.
And so, what it is that. We see these money delete, picture yourself, not yourself, or if you want to infiltrate, get plastic surgery, put on a mask, and go to the astronomically upscale country club and mention the word humanitarian.
Oh!
You watch them crack up, the money delete, and here they are, half of the so-called progressive liberal whatever, they're for Libya. And half of them are against the right wing, the so-called conservative. Half of them are for, half of them against.
Right.
They're laughing their asses off. It's unbelievable. And you go there, if you can talk to them and say, they'll try to put on a serious face, but we know what it is. And when they're looking at the left side, say, what about Syria, and what about Egypt, and what about... You know, the other fit, Yemen and all that stuff, they're chomping at the bit, the moneyed elite are chomping at the more bombs, more bombs, more bombs, more money. Yes. And so here we have half of the so-called left, you know, chomping at the bit, well, let's go liberate all the other countries too. And the moneyed elite are laughing their asses off.
Oh, sure they are. Sure they are. Bomb it all, because then, you know, it's disaster capitalism. We come in, and or they come in, not me, I have nothing to do with this, but they come in and they do the Naomi Klein trick on them. Not Naomi Klein trick, but what Naomi Klein has written about, you know, in especially after a war, a civil war or a revolution or takedown of the government. That's when the capitalists just start salivating and wetting their pants, because it's just, oh my God, it's nothing but opportunity.
That's the way it's always been. Yeah. 6,000 years of recorded history. Have you ever heard of a documentary called Cywar, Scott Noble?
I have not.
Oh, okay, well, it wouldn't tell you anything you don't already know. But I got this from KPFK, and I made copies and handed out. You know, that's my big activism thing.
Yeah.
And it already tells you what you already know.
Well, it's a CD?
Yeah. No, it's not. It's a DVD.
Or a DVD, I mean?
For sure.
Well, why don't you send me a copy?
Because I don't have your post office box.
It's on the website.
I don't have a computer. I can't dig it out. I don't have enough time for digging it out on the net. And stuff.
Have you got something to write with?
I have a pencil and a paper right here, right now.
Okay. P.O. Box 238.
238.
Yeah. Decatur. D-E-C-A-T-U-R. Decatur. Georgia.
Capital G, capital A.
That's close enough.
The post office likes
it. 30031.
30031. Oh, it's a letter. Zero is a number, so I wrote zeros. I'm sorry to be such a stickler. I hate it when I get like this.
Well, send me this DVD.
Boss, I'm sure you have much more better callers. I'm going to have to bow out. I ran out of
Yeah, we're going to move on to people that make sense.
Cool.
All right, Stephen, you have a good night.
Love it.
Okay, bye-bye. Stephen in Burbank, all right.
Oh, great. Now here come the bombs. Here come the envelopes of all-purpose flour designed to scare Jesus out of us.
We have our mailing addresses right at the website.
Yes, but most knuckle-draggers can't read that well.
That's true. But they can't write either, so we're safe. Bob the Poet is in Tennessee. Hello, Robert.
No, don't tempt me with a title now.
Okay.
I'm doing fine, and you're doing fine also, I should say.
Yeah?
I really identified with your white men and the unpleasantness of being so designated by and so misrepresented as some of us might feel.
Sure, sure. No, I get that completely.
But as an old, I don't mean old, you're younger than I am, but as a journalist who worked with the great speckled bird, you sure know about the East Village Other.
Oh, sure.
And the other were the people who, when they had a form that had any kind of racial designations on it, would not check white, would check the other.
Right.
Because they didn't want to be represented by that crap. Didn't identify with white as a race and the racists that were whites.
Yeah, and you know, being a white male in a society where white males have pretty much done, historically anyway, done all the damage over the course of this country's history, you become stereotyped just like everybody stereotypes everybody until we learn how to outgrow it. But
there you go, you become another.
Yeah, that's right.
Another. I called really to pick a nit with you, though.
Okay, go ahead.
It's a language nit, but you know, sometimes when you pick a nit, you evade a plague. So I'd like to tell you a little story.
Okay.
Cast your mind back to 1957. I was a truck driver. That's about 12 years after the war was over.
Uh-huh.
And I was delivering federal specification paint to the Los Alamos National Laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like on a mountain, maybe a mesa. And there's like a narrow road up the side of a hill that is, I mean, a steep, very long. In fact, I burn out a clutch, but that's how a young man drives it.
That's that true. Day.
And I met an engineer. And he told me that nuclear energy was a steam engine. And you've been talking about nuclear waste as a byproduct of this reactor that's causing so much trouble in our world in the Japan area there.
Yeah, of course they all produce plutonium, but that's a whole different topic.
It isn't, because that is what is being produced, which is what was sold to us. You remember free electricity?
Sure.
It was sold to us as if its product was electricity, but electricity was a byproduct because of the steam that was necessarily produced
from the heat
when you cooled the rods to produce plutonium.
Yeah.
And breeders and bombs. And that's where all this has been coming from. And that's what they're storing it up for, but they can't do anything with us. And I think it should be called nuclear poison, not nuclear waste.
Well, it is definitely poison. You know what, Bob? This morning, I happened to be watching CNN, and it was Suzanne Malveaux was the anchor person, and she was trying so hard to give all of the CNN consumers, news consumers, a report on what was happening at the nuclear power station in Japan. Fukushima? I just can't think of it right now. And she had the CNN correspondent who's been covering all this, and Suzanne Malveaux, and CNN said, well, tell us about that. What's that other one, Bob? The plutonium thing. I understand that one is, that one's a pretty dang. What is that all about? I just about lost my oatmeal. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate you checking in. We'll be right back. This hour has been sponsored by Women Standing, Jude Morford, and her organization. Her message dedicated to those who stood as a collective consciousness on the horrific anniversary of March 19. Peace, Women Standing. Thanks, Jude. You remember Jean, who lives in Detroit. She was telling us about her foreclosure. Hey, Jean.
Hey, Mike.
So.
Hi, Bob from Tennessee. I'm on my way down.
Okay.
I know him. I met him when I was down there a couple years ago.
Well, there you go. What happened with your foreclosure?
I'm still here, but only till the end of the week. I hope I got everything packed by then. I'm not sure if I will. I got like 12 rooms or something.
Yeah. Where are you going?
And, to Tennessee, down to Franklin.
You have family there?
Yeah. Then we're going to become farmers in a real rural area.
And what's going to happen to your house in Detroit?
The bank can have it back.
You know, during the program tonight, I've been looking at some videos from Detroit and Toledo. Just the boarded up houses and the neighborhoods that are crumbling. And I'll tell you, it's just, you know, I'm from Toledo, as you know, and to look at this stuff, I read something in the Times the other day. It was like a 4,500 square foot house in Detroit sold for $9,000.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I mean, my God, a fourth. I couldn't. I mean, that's lunch money to some people, to the wealthy folks. That's just, you know, sandwich and takeout. Oh my God!
When I talked to you last, I had asked you to allow our attorney to call. And by the time I got a hold of her, then she had a judge after her trying to sanction her because of her being determined to advocate on the behalf of the poor here.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to go into court, and the judge, his mind was made up before anybody opened their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And he just sat up on his podium or whatever, and twiddled his thumbs, rolled his eyes, rocked back and forth like, let's get these procedures over so I can slam her. And that's exactly what he did. They even threw Congressman Conyers, one of his employees, Olivia, out of the courtroom.
Wow.
And in the end, Jerry Goldberg, another attorney, nailed him. This judge had refinanced his home or something a couple of times previous to that through these banks. And after he was, like, punishing her, he was going to try to get $4,000 out of her. She doesn't make any money helping the poor.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, after he did that, then Jerry said they were going to do an investigation or something as to, you know, why it was that this very judge refinanced his house a couple of times.
Well, isn't that so often the case, though, Gene? You know it as well as I do. You know, the people have the power. They get what they need. They get what they want. And other folks, you know, too bad. How are you getting down to Franklin, Tennessee?
Well, my cousin had a couple weeks ago said that they could come up and get me, but I wasn't even close.
Uh-huh.
I'm closer now to having stuff packed than I was at that time.
But 12 rooms of stuff. How long are you living in Detroit?
Well, I came here in 83 with a big truckload of stuff.
So it's 20-some years.
Yeah. And I've been in this house since 95.
And you packed up 12 rooms?
Well, pretty close. I got a two-car garage that's filled.
And you've been living there by yourself?
Yeah, but it's a two-family flat, and I ended up furnishing like both floors and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, are somebody going to load this into a semi, or what are you going to do?
well, I'm going to rent a U-Haul because that's all I can afford. And I'm going to tow my car, which I've never done that before.
Yeah. And then you're going to go to Tennessee and become a farmer.
And then I'm going to drive down to Tennessee. Everybody says I'm crazy because I should at least have somebody with me to help me, which I agree with, but I haven't been able to find anybody.
I thought somebody was coming up from
Well, they were going to, but they were out on, they were on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know the offer was during that 2 weeks.
Oh, I see. And now they got to work. All right, Gene.
And now they're back to work.
Gene, do me a favor. When you get down there to Franklin, after you've looked up Bob the Poet, give us a call. All right, just give us a call. All right, Gene, and listen, drive safely. Take it easy. All right, True Seekers, I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
Are you paying?